Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
It's done. The goal of the year, part of the past, the celebrations, forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans, and welcome back to the Daily Draft brought to you by Badger State Brewing. What a weekend it was. I want to set the ground rules here very clearly. My name is Ross Uglum. I'm the publisher of Packer Report and had such an awesome time meeting so many of you this weekend at Badger State Brewing. Got the opportunity to run into a bunch of you at Cheesehead TV as well. Again, just the gratitude that I have for everybody that came out. All the kind words. Got to take a couple pictures. By the way, tag me or tag Pack Report and anything you have from that event, because I saw people take pictures. Obviously, I was busy. I had my mind on other things. I'm trying to run a decent event, trying to pay attention to who the Packers were drafting. If you have any of that stuff, like, let us see it, right? Because we're on Facebook. You can tag us on Facebook. We're on X. You can tag us there. I don't think Packer Report has an Instagram. Not really my bag. Not really a place to share news, in my opinion. I know Cheesehead TV does an awesome job on Instagram. It's just not, like, not my thing. Anyway, please do that. So, we are going to try to continue the daily draft as long as it makes sense. Of course, the NFL's annual player selection meeting is over. By the way, this will be the last show, hopefully not from the studio. I am in this super unbelievable hotel in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, on my way home. And this chair was just so amazing that I had to record the show from it. I wish to God I had a robe and a pipe, because that's the vibe right now. Anyway, this should hopefully be the last show from not the studio, but it's not going to be the last show. For sure, we're going to break down the UDFA class at some point, and for sure, we're going to do a recap show probably tomorrow, which would be Monday. The recap show, we will not do a mock draft Monday, but excuse me. But we will do a recap show. We will do a UDFA show probably then on Tuesday. Working up a pretty big name guest potentially. Hopefully I can get him by Wednesday. Either to record Tuesday for a Wednesday show or to record on Wednesday. And then hopefully, you know, finding different ways to continue doing what we're doing after that. I have some other ideas. But obviously the daily draft will come to an end at some point. To that end, today's show is not going to be a draft recap. It might be disappointing, might not be. We will not discuss the UDFAs at all, and I will not discuss this class as a whole. this is going to be a day three recap, period, because we did a day one, we did a day two, here's day three. You'll get the full analysis of the whole class tomorrow. And part of the reason, honestly, too, is like how much I've been traveling to try to get back home, you know, staying in sweet hotel rooms like this. You know, as I mentioned, the head brewer at Badger State is my best friend. So, you know, he and I got a chance to catch up and hang out and have a couple beers. And so, you know, to really get into some of the guys that I haven't watched a ton, they took a bunch of them, and I'll admit to that, and I'll talk about through that. Like, I don't have all the time in the world. I don't. And so, you know, I cover the team through the season, right? I cover North Dakota State men's basketball and football. I have other sources of income. You know, I used to own an insurance agency. I don't anymore. But I cannot put 40 hours a week, 365 days a year into the NFL draft. So to get on my board, and it ended up being 296 players this year because a bunch of guys annoyingly went back to school. Shout out to NIL. I have to have watched three games, and I have to have notes from three games. I go to the most recent season. I watch your best game by PFF grade, your worst game, and then I find another one, and I try to kind of come up with sort of a consensus as far as like, okay, what does this guy struggle with? What does this guy do well? What can he do at the NFL level? And that, excuse me, all gets into a ranking, right? And the guys usually that fall outside my top 200, I don't get back to because I'm trying to really get locked in on like the top 150, especially trying to get locked in on like the top 60. And so while I might have watched 15 Jordan Morgan games, I might have watched 25 Cooper DeJean games, I might have watched, honestly, probably 20, 22, 23 games of Edgerrin Cooper. I watched three games in 2023 of Tyron Hopper. And we're not going to talk about Hop because today's a day three recap. But a lot of these guys that Green Bay took higher than certainly 200, they never made it to more than three games watched for me. So I'm hoping to be wrong. Obviously, I hope every single one of these players is an NFL Hall of Famer. They will not all be, but they took a bunch of guys I haven't seen that much of and didn't have a crazy high opinion of after watching three games. And what I will say too, and what, you know, whether it means anything or not, I was not that far off of consensus either. So you can think the Green Bay Packers are smarter than me. It's fine. You can think the Green Bay Packers are smarter than consensus. That's fine too. But just understand that a lot of these guys that I was not crazy, crazy high on, the world agreed. And that might not matter, right? Ketan Oladapo might become a three-time All-Pro safety. I think Talanoa Hufanga was drafted super late, right? And he's been an All-Pro. It happens, okay? So I'm not saying that I'm right. I just want to say that, you know, other people view some of these things kind of similarly. So day three, the Packers trade up. Everybody's excited. TJ Tampa, you know, before I saw his agility drills, a guy I thought was maybe a sleeper kind of, and honestly, Jordan Morgan was this, the type of pick where the Packers make the pick, and it makes sense, but it wasn't the guy that everybody wanted, so everybody gets a little annoyed. And I think TJ Tampa at 25 might have been that pick. Now, obviously, the league didn't think what, you know, people thought of him or what draft people thought of him. The league had a different opinion. But there was a tweet from somebody who had been tipping picks and tipping them well that they took him, and then the PFF Packers page put out some TJ Tampa stats, and those PFF team pages kind of tip picks too. So we were in the chat going nuts because we thought they got like a top 50 player and traded up and took care of outside corner and got the insurance at the cornerback position and basically got like a guy that I have really similarly graded to Morgan. You know, you can talk about Jordan Morgan as my 30th overall player. TJ Tampa is my 40th. I mean, that was going to be pants in the air, right? And then this crazy ass fan goes up and announces Evan Williams. And, you know, that was something that I did not love. And I think part of it was just kind of the air getting let out of the balloon, right? Because we thought it was TJ Tampa. Excuse me. But to me, you know, I didn't have a huge grade on Evan. Older prospect. I think he played 3 or maybe even 4 years at Fresno State and then took his, you know, 1 year of extra eligibility to move up and play at Oregon. You know, I think some folks had wondered if he doesn't have to move to linebacker. Tackles really well. And I just was concerned that he was going to end up a tweener. And ultimately, you can see it in my grade, like I almost just valued him as a special teamer. Oregon people love him. He was my 255th ranked player. So, I mean, he had a seventh round grade for me. And he was the 197th overall player on the consensus big board, meaning that the average of however many boards Arif put together had a very late sixth on Evan Williams. So from a value perspective, and again, you know, folks were putting it out there that other teams were trying to get Evan Williams in round four. That's fine. And I believe it, frankly. But, you know, consensus and me were not anywhere near pick 111 on Evan Williams. And I get why they like him. I have concern about his ability to cover. Now, if they do what they have basically said they're not going to do, and if he is basically never asked to play the post, and he just plays in the box and occasionally fills in a nickel, which I think is a little bit insane. But, I mean, if his role is box safety, if his role is Cam Chancellor, I think he has a chance. And you know, I need to go watch more Evan Williams. And I didn't have a chance to do that yesterday. There's too many picks. Again, I had travel. I have 3 Evan Williams games in my notes. And I had the grade that I had on him. And it's funny because someone was always in my replies, credit to this fan, someone was always in my replies when we were talking about adding to the daily draft schedule. Like, hey, Evan Williams, linebacker safety out of Oregon, Evan Williams. And I just never, he was so far down on my rankings that I never thought to do a show on Evan. And obviously that was incorrect.
Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid, and guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
After the Evan Williams pick, I'm trying to think because I'm actually looking at the list in order of how I ranked them and not in order of how they picked them. I'm pretty sure it's the Duke center after Evan Williams. It is. Okay. So Jacob Monk. This is actually a guy that I was higher on than consensus, but way lower on than when the Packers took him. Fifth round, 163 overall. I liked him and gave him a pretty decent bump after testing just because his athletic profile was so impressive, 9.74 RAS. And, you know, I've talked on and on about how RAS is height, weight adjusted. And so when you are an offensive lineman who's 6'3" flat, and not, you know, super big, 308 pounds, which is not small, but it's also not big, your RAS is going to get dragged down by that lack of height and weight. And so for him to be above a 97th percentile athlete, even though he's short, that shows you how unbelievable his athletic profile was. So Monk, for me, had a 6. He's my 214th overall player. So they reached, according to me, they reached around, whatever. I'm not that, that's whatever. Again, at this time, and you'll see how many of my guys that I had ranked high, they took super late. At this time, I was annoyed by Monk because of how many guys I liked better than him, not because they reached around. If you take a guy I have a 6 on in round 5, I don't give a nothing. I don't care at all. I'm ranked 214th. Consensus basically said he's an undraftable guy. Consensus had Jacob Monk as player 272. I don't get that. Again, like I had a 6-round grade on him, so it's not like I felt like he was some super duper star. But you have that much experience at a Power 4 school, playing that many different positions, and your athletic traits are to that level. I have a hard time with that being an undraftable grade. Like, I know 6'3 is short. I know he's short with short arms. Just don't ask him to play tackle. You know, he's shown that he can survive at guard. And you know what? If he's just a center prospect, then he's a center prospect. I don't know. I mean, there are centers I liked. Certainly, like Jalen Sundell from North Dakota State was still available. I think Bo Limmer might have even still been available. You know, there's guys that I liked probably more than Monk, even for center, but they didn't. That's not how the Packers felt. And, you know, they like high academic guys too playing center, right? The J.C. Treader, Evan Dietrich-Smith from Duke, Jacob Monk from Duke. I think there's one, you know, they had somebody else in there too that was like an Ivy Leaguer that's – was maybe like a backup interior guy that I'm trying to think of. Nope, not him. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Somebody can comment the other like high academic interior offensive line backup besides Dietrich Smith, Monk, and then Treader, because I am thinking of somebody, but it's escaping me. But yeah, they like really smart guys that are super athletes and that don't allow anything in pass protection. And that was the big, you know, I mentioned PFF Packers, the team specific sites put out big tip picks with interesting stats. And Monk's stat was basically that he's given up one sack in all of last season. And that's, I mean, like I said, a short, athletic offensive lineman that doesn't give up anything in pass pro is a Packers offensive lineman. Okay. After that, they stayed put and took Ketan Oladapo from Oregon State. Another guy that I didn't love, but that consensus was way different on than me. I had around 7 on Ketan at 235th. Consensus had Oladapo at 144. So they actually consensus from a consensus perspective, Ketan was a value pick, and I mean, steel would be strong, but consensus is basically half a round to a full round higher on Oladapo, than where they took him, I guess. You know, I worry about stiffness with him. I think he's a really linear athlete. And at 6'2", 216, his ability to not like change direction very well scares me. I think he's going to kill people on special teams. I think him and Williams are both going to kill people on special teams. I worry about him in space, especially you start talking about interchangeability. I'd really be scared if he was your single high guy. Again, like both Oladapo and Evan Williams to me are safeties. And honestly, specifically, they're box safeties. And that's fine, by the way. Like if you want Bullard to be this interchangeable nickel free safety guy and you want McKinney to be able to do everything, you need a couple box safety bodies in there. They got two. And if they just want to, you know, do the Joker thing and break the pool cue and say, here you go, between Evan Williams and Ketan Oladapo for a box safety role, let's go. I have no problem with that. So that one was interesting. I didn't love Oladapo. Consensus was very cool with him, right? Good pick by consensus. Not a great pick from my perspective. And that's been a theme, right? That's been a theme early in this process is that I didn't love what the Packers were doing for a while. Me and consensus would not like the Travis Glover pick, but you're in round 6, right? So I don't know what to tell you as far as caring. And, you know, I mean, really, it's like round 6 and 7. I know they just took Carl Brooks, but this was, I think, was also a late round 6 pick. You're to the point where it is almost undrafted free agency. You know, I mean, there's some value, obviously, to spending a pick on a guy. Justice Mosqueda famously has said the draft is 4 rounds long. The Packers really have found a way to make it 5. Aaron Jones was a 5th-round pick. Dontavian Wicks was a 5th-round pick. They've had offensive linemen that have been good that have been 5th-round picks. I think Mike Hyde might have been a 5th-round pick. They do fine in the 5th round. So I've always said the Packers draft is 5 rounds long. Round 6 and round 7, you just get into the weeds. But Travis Glover, I did not rank him. He was not one of my top 296 players. Does not fit what they do athletically at all. I mentioned kind of the scratch and dent store, how the Packers will start to shift away from what they do athletically in rounds 5, 6, 7, and certainly in undrafted free agency. But Glover, you know, showed that he belonged at the Senior Bowl. Very clear that the Packers, and that's one thing I'm going to get into kind of deeper when I do the recap show. I think Green Bay thinks they're good now. They took more old guys than they have, and a lot of 22, 23-year-old prospects in this class, a lot of guys that are ready to play. Which means, to me, I think it's clear that they think they're good. And then they think that it's time now to go. And you can see that with spending the money on McKinney. But even with athletic profiles, a lot of guys in like the mid-8s, a lot of really good athletes, not the like freakazoid lottery tickets that you've seen in a lot of years from Green Bay. I think they came in this year with like the 14th highest average relative athletic score in the league. For them, and obviously that's top half, but for them to not be in the top 10 is extremely rare. And so, and I'm not saying it's better to take worse athletes. I just mean they're taking older guys to me that don't have quite the ceiling. But to them, and the way you listen to them, when you listen to John Eric Sullivan, you listen to Goody, you listen to LaFleur, they think a lot of these guys are ready to go now. And a perfect example, I think, is Oladapo and Evan Williams. I could be wrong, right? But I don't think that they're even like their 80th percentile outcomes to me is not like an all pro or like a Pro Bowl player. But if they hit their 70th, 75th, 80th percentile outcome, meaning like, you know, if you simulate their careers 10 times, what's the best, you know, what's the eighth best one or the second best outcome? You know, pretty damn good box safety is it for both. And that's fine, especially where they took those two guys in round four and round five. I just thought it seemed to me like they were really concerned with guys' floors. And it's usually a team that drafts for ceiling. I think they're really concerned with guys' floors this year. And I even think Glover is a high floor guy, even though he's not a great athlete. You know, he showed he could do it at the Senior Bowl. And he started a billion games at Georgia State. A billion. That was very much a theme with this year's offensive line crop for Green Bay, as much as people tried to tell you that they were interested in Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton. Okay, after the Glover pick, we got weird, and I loved it. Michael Pratt, quarterback, Tulane. I feel bad. I got to go back here real quick. This is a lot of great radio. But if you look at – and I did watch more games. This was not a hedge. But if you look at my first – I mean, he was QB7 for me. Now I'm losing it a little bit. QB7. Right. Because, yeah. So I didn't love Penix. I had Penix with a second round grade at 48th overall. And I had Pratt with a third round grade. I ultimately gave him a third round grade at 74th overall. If you go back to the second to last big board that I did, Pratt was 61st because I still had a late two on him. And I watched a few more games and I settled on a round three. And the reason I watched a few more games is because Arif Hassan, who does the consensus big board, emailed me back and he'll do this whole thing. And I ended up still being the highest guy in a couple of guys. Happy that one of them was Mason Smith because he got taken really early and made me look smart. But I was the highest person in the world on Michael Pratt of all the big boards that he got. I was the highest. And so I was like, I better go watch a few more games. I still gave him, like I said, a really, you know, solid round three grade and a very high end backup or, you know, one of these guys who isn't a first round pick that ends up being a starter in the league. And there's plenty of them, right? Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy. You know, there are plenty of guys, you know, I think most of the good starters, right, are usually round one guys, but you know, Jalen Hurts exists. Brock Purdy exists. Kirk Cousins exists. You know, there are certainly guys throughout the league that were not, you know, 1-1 or 1-10 or even, you know, where Jordan Love was taken. So that was Pratt for me. It was a really high-end backup that I was not convinced couldn't be a starter. Really do not – my grade on – honestly, this is going to sound insane because of everything involved in the whole situation, but my grade on Michael Pratt is really not that different than my grade on Michael Penix. And I know the gap between when they were taken. I do, but – and that probably tells you what I think of the – what Atlanta did. So anyway, Pratt's exciting. Four-year starter, 44 starts, threw for 90 touchdown passes and ran for another 28. Really good athlete. Really good athlete. I don't know that he ran the 40. He's got a relative athletic score out there of 8.28. But you watch him run the ball, and it's impressive. I mean, I would not necessarily call him a running quarterback, but – The only thing he didn't do was run the 40. So he has a 95th percent. Michael Pratt has a 95th percentile vert and an 84th percentile shuttle to go with pretty good broad jump and cone times. And I bet his 40 would have been cool. You know, it's Tulane. Like, I don't want to get too much into counting stats when we're talking about quarterbacks, especially, you know, never scout the box score. But man, production is production too. Tulane's all-time leading passer. 4 years, just about 10,000 yards passing, 90 touchdown passes to 26 picks. And that 26 picks is a lot, but he still had a career passer rating of 148.0. I mean, they were good. And by the way, I mean, they were good. He led them to a New Year's Six bowl game and beat Caleb Williams and USC at the Cotton Bowl. I put their final drive. I put his game-winning drive, the film from his game-winning drive out there on Twitter. It's a fun watch. He's a fun player, man. Last 2 years of his career, he got to be quite a bit more efficient as well. 55 and 58% completion as a freshman and a sophomore. But then the last 2 years, 64 and 66% completion percentage, and the yards per attempt jumped in a big way, 8.9 in 2022, 8.5 in 2023. You saw a little bit of a dip, a little bit of a drop-off. You know, he lost Tyjae Spears, who I think really opened a lot. The running back opened a lot for them at Tulane. The 2023 season didn't go as well as it did in 2022. I think that's probably why he wasn't a second or a third round pick. But he's nasty, man. I know what we saw from Cliff Dog in the preseason. I understand it. To me, they're not even in the same conversation as prospects. Cliff Dog's also four, despite being back-to-back draft classes, Cliff Dog is 4 years older because he'll turn 26 before Pratt turns 23. He's basically 4 years older than Pratt. Pratt is a normal 22-year-old prospect coming out. Cliff Dog was not normal. And I think that's part of the reason why he had so much success in the preseason last year. I mean, he should have. He was playing against third, fourth stringers that were much younger than he was. And Green Bay's depth on the offensive line and skill positions, too, I think were a huge advantage. And I'm not trying to take stuff away from Sean Clifford, who I think was a hell of a pick, because I did not have a very high opinion of Clifford at all. And he proved to be a very capable preseason football player. Never really played any football in the regular season that mattered. But if you asked me, are you going to keep today, if you asked me, are you going to keep Michael Pratt or Sean Clifford, I would pack Sean Clifford's bags, just the way I feel about it. Then my favorite pick of the draft, and this is not even close after that. And just so everybody knows, on the Pratt pick, he was 74th overall for me, third round grade, and he was 127th overall by consensus. So Pratt was actually by consensus, not by me. Pratt by consensus was the fifth best player that they took. Morgan at 35, Edge Cooper at 37, Javon Bullard at 63, Marshawn Lloyd at 94, and then Pratt at 127. So their second to last pick by consensus was the fifth best player that they got. I'm not saying that's going to end up shaking out 100% for sure, but that's what it is by consensus. Then again, my favorite pick of the draft, I have a lot of respect for going back to the tape, which is why I wish I had time to do it for every prospect, but I don't. But this was less going back to the tape and more how much I already knew about this kid. Excuse me. Kalen King was a first round pick coming. You go back and look at the, after the 2023 draft, go look at the way too early mock drafts for 2024 for this draft cycle. You'll see Kalen King in almost all the first round ones. He was a really, really good player across from Joey Porter Jr. at Penn State in 2022. Obviously, Joey Porter Jr. Drafted highly by the Pittsburgh Steelers took him. I only hesitate because I know Jeremiah Trotter Jr. got to go to the Eagles as well, but I think that happened for both kids. Kalen King was that dude. 2023 doesn't go the way he wants. Athletic testing, too, although he did run a 4.52 at Penn State's pro day. And even adjusted for it being a pro day, that's a better run than the 4.61 from Indy. Certainly, and that's kind of been Green Bay's threshold. We don't really – we. I mean, the Packers set their corner speed at kind of 4.6. And if you can't run faster than 4.6, we better have gotten you in round seven or undrafted free agency, which is when they got him. But I do know that he ran a 4.52 at Penn State, and you never know what's on Green Bay's watches. You know, like Goody said, their time for Tyron Hopper was faster than what's public. I think their time for Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed is faster than what's public. And I would be shocked if their time for Christian Watson wasn't faster than what's public as well. But King was just this awesome player, awesome, awesome player in 2022, tons of first round buzz, just didn't have that season in 2023. And then ran slow. But I always kind of thought, especially because he's nasty when he tackles, I always kind of thought there was a chance he might be like a really, really, really good nickel. I mean, I'll be honest. And actually, Keyshawn Nixon, I think this morning, tweeted out like, okay, go ahead and bet against me not being on that field. Again, if it was me, just me, in the same breath that I would pack Sean Clifford's bags for Michael Pratt, I would install Kalen King as the starting inside corner today. They won't. He's a seventh round pick, and they just gave Keyshawn Nixon the sun, the moon, and the stars in that contract. But I personally would start Kalen King at nickel tomorrow. That's how highly I think of him. Green Bay gets him at pick 255. I had him at pick at player 85. And if he would have repeated what he did in 2022, I think he just would have been a first round pick. I wasn't obviously willing to let him drop 200 spots from there, right? And the league did. The league was willing to do that. I mean, Kalen King was almost an undrafted free agent, was probably receiving undrafted free agents offers when Green Bay called him. But man, that was just my pick of the draft. It was just absolutely my pick of the draft. My 85th overall player at 255. And by consensus, too, I mean, it was a great pick as well. Kalen King was 156th by consensus, not 256, right? So Green Bay got him 100 picks after he should have gone by consensus, and 180 picks after I thought he should go. He's my favorite pick of the draft. Okay, guys. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks to everyone that came out this weekend. Thanks to Badger State Brewing for sponsoring us. Thank you to everyone who bought the draft guide. Sold an unbelievable number of those. Just so happy and so proud of that thing. But have a great rest of your day, guys, and go Pack Go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.